Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia.
Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God. How are you? We're on KKLA again, 99.5 FM, every Saturday, 2 to 2.30. Tom Meglia here, financial planner, registered investment advisor, and Crown Ministries financial coach. Hope you're having a great day, and welcome to Knowing the Economy of God, a radio program with yours truly, the financial planner, with a face for radio. And that's me, Tom. So let's get started. We're talking about God's economy. And I'm really excited to be with you. I've been in business about 27 years, going on 28 years. And I'm enjoying everything I do in my calling. And that is to be a financial coach and advisor to help people look to God's Word through the Holy Spirit and manage His finances that are under our wings for God's glory. And that's what the program's about. And knowing the economy of God, the reason I titled it, basically, we need to know God's financial systems, God's economy, what God is teaching, explaining, and asking and wanting us to do with His resources, not ours. So welcome. Really enjoy having you. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit today about coveting. And we've been talking for the last couple of months about ownership. And why are we doing that? Well, there's four anchors, in my opinion. I've gone through the entire Bible and basically extracted and talked about and expounded on every financial principle in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation that make up God's economy. We need to know it. And to know it, we need to know the Word. That explains what God's economy is. The four anchors, in my opinion, of what God's economy comes down to are the following. Number one, God is the owner, the one and true only owner of everything. And I mean everything. Me, my family, finances, job, talents, gifts, time, energy, body, everything. God is the one and true owner. And what would be the second anchor if that's the first? Then we are in the role of stewardship, or the steward, or the manager, or the servant of what belongs to God. That's our role. We're role players, kind of like in baseball. What's that pitcher doing out there? Oh, he's a role player. He's pitching the sixth inning. Once the sixth inning's up, he's done. His role is to pitch the sixth inning, and that's it. That's his role. Well, our role is to be the servant, steward, manager of what does not belong to us for God's glory. Praise the Lord. And number three, the first and natural order of giving, of stewardship, is to be a giver, a cheerful, generous giver. So giving, the category of giving, is number three. And the fourth anchor is contentment. And I can't wait to get on that show, in that program, and talk about contentment. That one is a fun topic. So those are our four anchors. We're to be content. That's the fourth. Since God's the owner, we're the manager. We're to be cheerful, generous givers, garden hoses. And we are to be content people, as in Jesus. Now, the way I explain God's economy is through a four-part recipe. Okay? The four-part recipe is, number one, we cite or identify the scripture. Number two, I explain what is God's economic principle that comes from that scripture. And number three, how do you apply it to your normal life? How do we take a scripture, an economic principle from the Bible, let's say from Genesis or Exodus, and apply it to our normal, everyday, average living existence, lifestyle? How do we do it? And then finally, prayer. We pray to God, ask God to help us, to change us, to work through us, to do what He wants us to do. Basically, Lord, what would you like me to do? So that's the four-part recipe. So in ownership, let's cite some scriptures, shall we? And then we'll get into some of the economic principles, okay? And I think the Word of God is so great, and I really appreciate God's Word. In fact, when we start the program, you hear the music in the background, the harp music, the praise music. I like to set the tone. And that music comes from Bonnie Moore of Monrovia, California. She is a harpist, and you can hear more on her website or find something out about Bonnie, and that's BonnieHarpsong.com. So that's where you'll find Bonnie's music, BonnieHarpsong.com. And my website, just before I forget, is TheEconomyOfGod.com. Okay, so back to the scripture. We look at Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, for he founded it upon the oceans and established it upon the waters. Deuteronomy 8:18. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Haggai 2:8. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Proverbs 22:2. The rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Here's a great one. 1 Chronicles 29:11 and 12. I always say that. Here's a great one. Well, they're all great. I enjoy every verse. So when I say here's a great one, well, the others are great too. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all. Now, when someone says, Tom, what about, the economic principles? Well, we're getting to that. But before that, I've got another super verse, 2 Timothy 3:16. I know you know this, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that could be the child of God, the teenager of God, the woman of God, anyone of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, some of the economic principles here that show God is the owner and not us are things like, well, we need to give control to God. We need to surrender to God all we have because we're not really the owner. He is. So we've got to remember we're not in control. It's very important. We need to give up control. Many people like to be in control. It's a natural fleshly thing. But for God to be owner and us not, we've got to surrender control to God. And his ownership of everything gives him the right to demand accountability from us. That's another economic principle. He has the right, and he will demand accountability from us. When we get to the stewardship anchor, I'll talk more about accountability. That'll be probably in November, December. Okay, sin is not giving up ownership to God or thinking that God isn't the one and only true owner of all I have. So that would be a sin in my mind if I thought, oh, I'm the owner, not God. That's a sin on my part because then I'm living for me to do what I want to do. And I think that it's important, too, that we remember you can't have one principle of these anchors correct and not the others. We have to remember that ownership, stewardship, giving, and contentment all go hand in hand. We can't pick them like a cafeteria and say, well, I think I'll pick contentment today and stewardship tomorrow. I think today I'll be a lousy giver, but I'll turn ownership over to God maybe next Tuesday. Can't do it. We got to have all four anchors cooking for us when we put Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, not just Savior, but Lord of our financial lives. It's very important. So I think that's important that Jesus is Lord, not just Savior, of the financial and economic areas of our lives, of our family's life, of a single person's life. It's important because then we'll submit if we know that. There's only one owner. It's not joint tenancy, God and Tom. It's just God. Regardless of what the mortgage statement says, brokerage statement, 401k statement, none of that stuff. So that's very important. And I think, too, another economic principle that's very important is that what we do with our finances and time and talents says what we really believe about who's the owner, God or us. The encouragement, I believe, is grace. There's always a second chance to make wise changes toward trusting him and obeying. God gives us lots of opportunities, and we will be blessed. Now, will it be economically? Most likely. Doesn't matter, does it? Does it really matter if it's economic or not? To me, no. I want to do what God says. I'll trust him to give me whatever he wants, tangibly, intangibly. Most likely the best thing for me, no tangible blessing, Lord. Better for me to learn patience, understanding, and become like the character and image of Jesus. But it's up to the Lord. Father knows best. Remember that show? Father knows best. Well, Father God knows best. So, you know, it's great. We know the scriptures. We know what we need to do. And it's very important that we say, Lord, you know, at the end of the program, pray with me that we want God to be the owner, the one and true owner. And we want to learn what isn't ownership too. And that, I'll get into coveting and greed and envy and jealousy, covetousness after the upcoming break. So stay with us. We're coming up to a break, and then afterwards we'll talk further about ownership.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them, or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or, if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share knowing the economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
You know, welcome back. And when we talk about ownership, we also look at in our finances and how we manage money. What is not ownership? What are things that would not look like giving God ownership and us trying to retain ownership? Well, one of the biggest problems I've seen as a financial advisor and financial counselor is coveting, envy, and greed. Those are major, major problems and sins for people, anyone actually, that says, hey, I'm owner. I'm acting like owner. I'm mixing it up today. I think I'll be owner, and I've got to have what I've got to have, and get out of my way, everybody, including God, including spouses. And I've seen a lot of problems come in financial plans and people with heavy debt and financial problems that end up causing relationship problems in the area of coveting. Now, we know that in Exodus 20, where God gave us the Ten Commandments, he tells us not to covet our neighbor's wife, not to covet our neighbor's property, things like that, because God knows it's a major problem for people in the area of coveting. It can send people down to ruin. I've seen it. I've seen people. I've met people. Sometimes they call me too late in the game, where they're ready for bankruptcy or ready to just get a divorce or run off. A lot of times people will do that. They'll just run away and think they can run away from the problem. And the problem of debt many times can be riches and accumulation as well is the reason the things were sought after in the first place. So I think there's a major lesson to be learned concerning envy and jealousy and coveting. Now, you all recall, I'm sure, about King David. King David coveted Bathsheba. He wanted her, so he resorted to murder. He resorted to some pretty bad things, adultery. And look what happened to his life. Many, many consequences occurred. How about Cain killing Abel? Cain coveted the blessings that God gave Abel, the honor God gave Abel for a righteous sacrifice, a righteous gift, obedience. And Cain coveted. He was mad. He was jealous. And Solomon, in 2 Chronicles 1:7, God said, Solomon, what do you want? I'll ask from you what you want. Solomon didn't ask for the revenge of his enemies. He didn't ask for money and riches. He didn't ask for all the things that could pleasure a human being, but wisdom to govern the people God put under his charge. And God was impressed, very impressed. And he said, okay, Solomon, because you didn't ask for all that other stuff, I'm going to give you the wisdom, but I'm also going to give you all these other things too. The riches like no one else had and so on. So very interesting, the coveting issue. But I'll tell you, I think that many people I've worked with over the decades make financial mistakes because of envy and jealousy. What starts in the heart can snowball into big-time lasting problems. And a lot of those manifest themselves financially. They really do. If you look at people's credit cards and some of the crazy things that have happened that have not resulted from disability or medical problems or job loss, you have to ask yourself, what's the root reason of these major debts being accumulated in the first place? And a lot of times, people want to keep up with the Joneses. There's envy. And the dictionary defines jealousy as being disposed to suspect rivalry or unfaithfulness. Envy is also defined in Webster's as malice, begrudging somebody, painful or resentment, awareness, resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by somebody else and the desire to possess that same advantage that someone else has. It's very important. You know, God is not opposed, my friend, to people having things. He's not opposed to someone having wealth. He gives certain people the gift of accumulating a lot of wealth to distribute it and redistribute it for his purposes. But he is opposed to us becoming coveting or covetous. We must not do that. And that's not because God's a bully, but we sometimes put way too much emphasis on acquiring things and accumulating things. It's very difficult. So for most people, they have to get a handle on this sooner or later. It's very important. I think a lot of people sometimes feel too, I just don't have enough. If I had another million, it won't be enough. I've met people like that that say, you know, when I get the next million, then I'll be really satisfied. Not a good thing. But financial bondage can occur this way because someone else has something we want and we've got to have it, and nothing's going to stop us from getting it. You know, Proverbs 16:25, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end leads to destruction. It's very, very critical we check our motives. Proverbs 16:2 tells us, check your motives. God weighs our motives. They seem right to us, right? Sure. But God knows our heart. He checks our motives, Proverbs 16:2. So we need to remember the life of a Christian isn't characterized by greed, envy, and selfishness. Covetousness is dwelling on the greed. It's dwelling on that greed. So it's festering. It's growing in our hearts. We mustn't let coveting or covetousness dwell inside our heart and soul. Then it becomes envy and acquisitiveness, greed, and that in turn starts invading and ruling our lives. Webster says coveting is having a craving for possession to wish for enviously or inordinate desire for what belongs to someone else. It's very important. That's a sin. We must not do this. Ephesians 5:5 says, a covetous person does not inherit the kingdom of Christ. So that should be a warning. Now, when we envy someone, we create an idol. That idol is what they have, how it makes them look, what we want it, makes us feel big, self-powerful. That puts deep stuff, sin in our heart before we seek God. You know, God said, I'm a jealous God in Exodus 20. No false gods before me. That's your first commandment. I am the Lord your God. No false gods before me. Exodus 20, first 17 verses. So God has to occupy the number one drive and slot in our life. That's very, very important. Now, some people say, well, Tom, what do you want me to do? What do you think I should do to examine all this? Well, I think that one of the things a person can do is they need to apply these lessons to their normal life. And the way to do that is to avoid envy, greed, and coveting. The way you can do that is to first identify your spending records. Look at your budget, your spending records, check registers, expense statements, credit card statements. I tell people, try to be a detective. Be a detective. Check out what you're spending, where you're spending, and why. Why did you buy what you bought? That's a pretty good thing. Be honest and open. And God's with you. He'll help you. You know, David said in the Psalms, show me the error of my ways, O Lord. Show me my heart. Expose it to me. God will. I can assure you, God will do it. And you know, that's important. So we need to check our motives. We need to see if there's what we're doing, both with time and talents and finances, have good motive or bad. And if it's coveting, we're going down a terrible road that will end in disaster. It will. There's no way it cannot. It's a sin, and we need to watch what we're doing. And a lot of people that come to me, they say, Tom, here are my finances. What do I do? How do I get out of this mess? Well, first of all, you need to know why and how you got into the mess before we can talk about solutions. You don't just take equity out of your home, wipe out all the debts, and say everything's good. You need to find out the reasons you got into debt, the reasons you bought what you bought, where you spent the money that you spent. I said that wrong, didn't I? Forget I just said that. Let me try it again. You need to find out, me too, all of us, where we spend money that we have and why we spend it where we spend it, okay? That's important. So I think that's a key issue. Also, was it a valid purchase, a worthwhile purchase, or did it just fill a temporary void? Has it satisfied a true need? You know, what was it really doing? So I think you need to look at your goals, your objectives, your financial plan, and say, what am I really doing? What's happening here with God's resources? I think that's extremely important. So we know that the enemy is going to try to rip us, right? He's, you know, the enemy is going to try to mess with us, and the enemy wants to use these financial things to hurt us, to block us, to really bring us down, and then get mad at God. That's what the enemy wants to do. So we can't allow that to happen. The temptations in life are always going to be there, my friend. So we need to figure out what's going on and why. That's what advisors and coaches do. Does it have to be me? Absolutely not. But get help. The Bible says get good professional Christian help for anything. So get yourself an advisor. If you need me, give me a call. 800-386-3700. The website is theeconomyofgod.com. So it's very important. I will pray with you because we need to work on these categories, these areas. It's very, very important. Our self-esteem is in Jesus Christ. It's not in what we own or what we think we should have and what we think we should own to make us happy. So will you pray with me? I'll pray. Drive careful, though, on the freeway. Don't close your eyes. Lord, thank you for this day. We give you the praise and glory, Jesus. Help us not to covet. Almighty God is the owner, not us. Give us wisdom and courage, Lord, to obey you and trust in you and to follow you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and love you. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Catch you next week. 800-386-3700 for a financial appointment or speaking engagement with me, Tom Meglia. Take care.
You've been listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God. God.